Time for our weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. With us today is Kevin Wooster, veteran journalist and Rapid City reporter for KELO-TV. Kevin, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Carl, just shaking the snow off my boots. I'm ready to go.
So more fun weather out in Rapid City?
Oh, yeah. Winter never ends.
Also with us on the line is Seth Tupper of the Mitchell Daily Republic. He has a new title, publisher. Seth, congratulations on the promotion, and welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And what
I don't
it?
Understand. How does he accomplish so much in his life in a short period of time? Meanwhile, I'm still a reporter.
I'm actually 75 years old. I just look really young. So, yeah.
So, Seth, what does it mean to be publisher?
Well, it just means that, you know, newspapers, like any business, have various departments. We have a newsroom, we have a press facility, we have an ad department, and we have a business department. And those departments all report to me now. So I was editor, I was in charge of the newsroom, and now I have the privilege and the burden of being in charge of all the departments.
All right,
so that's basically what it is.
Right, well, again, congratulations on that. We'll talk about politics now. The 2014 legislative session ended on Monday, veto day. It was a rather quiet day in the Capitol, since there were no vetoes for lawmakers to override. Kevin Wooster, is it unusual for a session to end without any vetoes?
Well, I think we seem to avoid the real hot social issues in terms of staying with them, like we do sometimes, where they kind of, the emotion kind of builds and mounts, and things like that can kind of make a session really become edgy and kind of pointed. But we've got enough money to go around by our standards, and you know, there was some issues there where I think the governor did a pretty good job of heading some things off and made it clear where his head was. And so I guess I'm not too shocked by this that we didn't really have a real battle at the end over some veto.
And Seth Tupper, this mean the session was mostly a harmonious one between Governor Dugard and the lawmakers?
I think so. I think it is a little bit unusual to not have a veto. I mean, usually you'll at least have a style and form veto, or maybe just some of the language was screwed up that the governor doesn't necessarily disagree with the intent of the bill, but just wants some fixes on it. So, you know, I suppose it's probably a credit to both sides that the lawmakers, everything that came across the governor's desk, he thought, you know, not only did he agree with apparently the intent, but also, you know, the way it was worded and the way it was presented. And it probably is a credit to the governor, too, that he was able to work so well with legislators and accomplish things that they could both agree on. You know, during Governor Rounds' term and others, there was a lot of reporting about some of the rifts and conflicts maybe between the governor's office and legislators. And so perhaps, I don't know if that means that the governor is doing a better job now of talking with legislators and relating to legislators, or they're doing a better job with him, or maybe there just wasn't that topic that they would have disagreed on. I don't know, but it does seem to me to be a little bit unusual and probably a credit to both sides in the way they were able to work together this year.
And to Seth's point, Carl, the style and form issue makes you wonder, you know, there's been kind of a shakeup in the last couple of years in the Legislative Research Council, the legislators' staff, and I just said, as Seth mentioned that, it made me think, is there something going on there where they're a little bit better at seeing where they're headed with style and form, with language, with specifics and details, things that maybe would have got vetoed before aren't now? Or is it just kind of a bit of an oddity?
Well, with the legislature over and two months before the primary, it looks like things are starting to heat up a little bit in the primary election. Over the weekend, Republican U.S. Senate candidate Larry Roden criticized his opponent, Mike Rounds, for using stock photos that weren't taken in South Dakota in a campaign ad. Apparently one image came from Paris. Seth, does this seem like sort of an odd thing to jump on?
Well, this is one of the reasons we love politics, isn't it? I mean, the entertainment value. And, you know, I love stuff like this. You know, this is the stuff that comes up in campaigns that makes campaigns fun to follow and watch. And I don't think it was a bad thing to jump on at all. I mean, you know, Larry Roden he's behind. He's not favored. Rounds is a prohibitive favorite, you would probably say. So he's got to, you know, Larry Roden's got to jump on whatever he can to make up ground and shows he's being active and aggressive. And he's right. It was a dumb thing, I think, for Rounds to run an ad that was full of images not from South Dakota. I mean, that's just something that, you know, somebody should have thought of and and been a little bit more careful with, and he opened himself up to that criticism by doing that. And I know some people would say, oh, you know, they're picking apart something that doesn't matter, but, you know, it does kind of matter in a race like this, in a primary, you got to get any edge you can get.
Kevin Wooster?
Well, I think he does have to take any opportunity he can to make some points there. You have to wonder, with the staff they have and with the smarts they have and with the money they have, how something like this would have slipped by him. But, you know, you get busy on other things, so who knows for sure about that. I suppose he's got to be careful, though, because Larry, you know, from up north here in Union Center, they may come back and point out that he's been East River for some campaign stuff. So that could hurt him out here, too.
Yeah, he was even here in Vermilion in our studio last week. So
Vermilion against Paris. Who knows?
Well, another Republican Senate candidate, Annette Bosworth, had a little fun with that yesterday. She had an April Fool's Day press release saying she flew dozens of volunteers to Paris to educate people in France about her stance on the issues. There's also a little dig at Mike Rounds and the EB-5 program as well. Seth, was that a clever April Fool's joke?
I don't know. I mean, she was trying to piggyback on a dig that another candidate got against their main opponent. So, you know, it's kind of the law of diminishing returns with her, I suppose. I don't think she got near as much mileage out of that as maybe Larry Roden got out of his criticism of Mike Rounds. It's another candidate that's far behind, trying to do anything that she can to make up ground. If you're just kind of piling on to somebody else's criticism, you're obviously not going to gain as much ground as the first guy did.
And using humor and comedy, I guess, is that something, Kevin Wooster, that political candidates need to be careful with?
Well, you can imagine that I kind of like humor when it comes to a campaign, and that I get a kick out of this. I think the double-edged sword of part of this is that she's got to be careful, because a certain percentage of people are going to think she really did send her staff to Paris. And that's going to upset them. What's she doing sending her staff to Paris for things like this?
Well, speaking of Annette Bosworth, Corey Heidelberger, who's been a vocal critic of Annette Bosworth, he writes the Madville Times political blog. He filed a formal challenge with the Secretary of State's office yesterday, claiming that more than 1,000 of the signatures on her nominating petition are invalid. That would be enough to keep her off the June primary ballot. Seth, do you think that Heidelberger's challenge will go anywhere?
Well, I don't know, because I haven't examined the petitions myself, but I guess only the Secretary of State will be the judge of that. But it does not surprise me, and it wouldn't surprise me. Annette Bosworth, you know, her campaign has been sort of a long, strange trip. At just about every turn, something strange will pop up, either from her past or that her campaign did, and it just seems like wherever she goes, some kind of strangeness seems to follow her around. And so I don't think it would surprise anybody who's been watching this race that there'd be a problem with her petitions. And as I said, the only and sole judge of that will be the Secretary of State. So I wouldn't speculate either way on what will happen on that until somebody, you know, has fully examined the petitions and then gives an official ruling on it.
Kevin Wooster, have you been following this turn of event?
Well, not closely, but I will tell you that Corey Heidelberger is an awful smart guy, and I'm guessing that he knows the process pretty well. I don't know why he would want to keep her off the ballot, except that he kind of likes Stace Nelson, because of the potential that maybe Stace has to really make it a challenge by this year's standards, anyway, of former Governor Rounds. But I would guess that Corey knows what he's doing. He usually does.
I'm wondering if there are any problems with the her nominating petition and the signatures, Seth Tupper, if that has anything to do with her being a first-time candidate, something of a political novice.
Well, it certainly could, and also lacking, you know, obviously the resources that maybe Mike Rounds has or other experienced candidates, and that certainly could be a part of it. And of course, what you want to get to, if there is a problem with petitions, one would hope that it's just an oversight and it's not something more insidious than that. Again, you know, I have no idea. I don't know if her petitions are valid or not. But I guess if if it would be determined that they're not, the question, of course, then the story's not quite over. The question then, of course, is, well, were they invalid because there were just mistakes made, or was there some kind of fraud that went on here? And you know, that could obviously be where it gets real interesting, but that's jumping quite a few steps ahead of where we are now, obviously.
Another first-time candidate is Corina Robinson. She's a Democrat challenging incumbent Republican Kristi Noem in the U.S. House race. And Kevin, you met her and wrote about a meeting with Democratic staffers and supporters in a recent blog for the KELO website. It looks like, from what you write, that the Democrats didn't pull any punches in talking with her about her chances.
I think that the group that meets here downtown on Saturday morning for breakfast is realistic about what a challenge this is, which is not to say they didn't encourage her or think that there's some ways to make some points against you know, Congressman Noem, but it's a big hill for her to climb, raising money, getting her name out there. And you know, one of the issues I raised is the carpetbagger issue. Even though she's a native of Rapid City, she hasn't been around here very much. She's had a military career that's quite, I think, admirable, and I think that'll help her in a campaign. And she speaks well and is forceful, and, you know, she's qualified on a number of weapons that I can't even name right now, so she certainly gained my respect. But that's one thing I ask her. Why should they, citizens of South Dakota that are voting, vote for you when you've kind of been gone for 25 years doing great public service, military service? But what is it that you think gives you standing to come back all of a sudden appear and be our lone member of Congress, of the House? So, and she had some answers for that. She, you know, but she's going to have to answer that to the public too.
It sounds from what you wrote, Kevin, that she's sticking pretty closely to the Democratic positions on issues like the Affordable Care Act and things that maybe other candidates might, even Democrats might kind of shy away from.
She seemed to indicate that she's not going to run from that issue, and I think that's probably smart, because you really can't run from it very much if you're a Democrat. And I think she also, if you're looking for votes in South Dakota and you're a Democrat, you pretty much have to start with the Democratic base, and that's pretty popular with the Democratic base. So for a candidate like her, she's got to start, you know, where it begins, and that's with the people that are most likely to show up for you. And if you start trashing Obamacare, that's not a very good way to build that base.
Did she say anything about any cuts to the military?
I think she's willing to look at those issues, and I think her argument will be that she has, from an insider's perspective, a better outlook on how to look for those cuts without damaging national security. And I think she'll also raise the issue of Congressman Noem's votes on budgets and the government shutdown, and her experience of seeing how that, in her words, could threaten and did threaten some points of national security when what most of us would consider political games were being played.
Well, Seth Tupper, what do you think about the uphill climb that she faces in challenging Kristi Noem?
Well, there's no doubt uphill is an accurate description, but you know, when you think about it, you know, 5 years ago, would anybody expected that a legislator, state legislator named Kristi Noem, would not only rise up to win the Republican primary for the House, but then would defeat mini-term incumbent in Stephanie Hirsch-Sandlin? So you never know, and you can't rule people out. And again, I mean, the first test I always try to apply to people is, does this person seem like a legitimate candidate with legitimate experience and something to say? And, you know, she certainly seems to be all that, so you can't rule her out. But you know, again, because anything's possible. But yes, I mean, you know, there's no doubt Kristi Noem is there are more registered Republicans here than Democrats, and she's popular among Republicans, and so it'll be a challenge, no doubt.
Well, yesterday her campaign sent out a press release accusing Kristi Noem of forming a Veterans Advisory Board as a political ploy, given Corina Robinson's background in the military. Sounds like, Kevin Wooster, that maybe things are heating up for that campaign anyway, since it's been rather low-key since she made her announcement?
I would expect things to heat up. I know she's consulting with Steve Jarding, and he's not afraid to throw a punch in a campaign, so I would guess that there's going to be some edge on some of their points. And I don't think she, I think she's pretty tough. You know, she's been two tours in Iraq, and she's dealt with the security issues in the Pentagon, and she's been around the world quite a bit, so you can't argue with that. And I'm guessing she's plenty tough to take on the congresswoman, who is a darn tough campaigner herself. I mean, she's got a natural gift for retail politics, and she's going to be awfully hard to beat.